Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
It is Tuesday on the Jake and Stacy Show, and that means that we welcome on Scott Service, Mariners manager, my good friend, on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline to join us. Skip, first of all, look, I was really happy to see the game, the performance last night. Last week was tough, though, for you guys. I just got to ask, man, like, how are you? How are you feeling right now?
Well, actually, I'm a little under the weather today. It's funny to bring that up, but that's okay. There's a little bug going through our team. And, yeah, last week was a challenge, no question about it. We didn't play particularly well, and then we had a few COVID issues, but, bright side, last night, I thought Yusei Kikuchi did a heck of a job to shut down Oakland. Fun to see Kelnick get another homer and Kyle Lewis hit a bomb last night. So a lot of good things, and hopefully, you know, we'll ride that momentum into tonight's game.
Scott, the good news is, I mean, you could not be in a more comfortable place if you're not feeling too well. You know, the Oakland Coliseum at night, it's just all the amenities that it has. I'm sure they'll take really good care of you there.
They have just a soup counter.
It is it's an interesting ballpark. You know, obviously they've had issues here trying to get it updated or build a new park. But, you know, we're here tonight. We'll make the best of it. But, you know, again, we actually match up pretty good against Oakland for whatever reason. We've played them very competitively. We've won a lot of games against them here over the last few years. Our players play well in this ballpark. So, like I said, hopefully it continues tonight.
Scott, we've seen you. We saw it before the Bieber game, and you sound like you had a little bit of a feeling yesterday as well, getting into more familiar territory with a division rivalry. But, I mean, how much did you have to kind of help coax along the team last week? There was a lot that was going on.
There really was, you know, and certainly, you know, we ran up against a very hot Padres team, and up close and personal look at Fernando Tatis Jr. He's on fire right now, but you know, you're dealing with the, you know, on the field stuff, you off the field issues, you know, when the COVID, you know, couple positive cases came back there. You know, it's an eye opener, and you know, it does shake things in the clubhouse a little bit, but you know, we got to get back to focusing on baseball. That's what we're here to do. Try to keep everybody safe and healthy best we can. And you know, we do have a few guys on the IL right now, and come here soon, we will start getting a few of those guys back. You saw Ty France get back into the lineup last night. I think, you know, Marco Gonzalez keeps moving in the right direction. I suspect he'll be back in our rotation too. Jake Fraley's out in a rehab, so we are going to get some healthy guys back here soon.
You know, one of the decisions that you ended up making that it obviously showed dividends yesterday was the decision to give Jared Kelnick a rest day. What did you see from him that you felt like he needed that, and how did he respond?
Well, I think with young players, you can get going a little fast, and certainly when you're struggling, you know, you want to, you know, fix it all in one at bat. And sometimes if you just unplug, you know, sit down and talk with them, give them a day to kind of sit back and watch the game, and not just watch it, but think the game while you're watching it from the dugout. And it does help slow some things down. But, you know, he needed a day. I thought it was the right time to unplug him, so to speak. And then we quickly plugged him back in last night, and it paid dividends. Not only hit the home run, but he made a heck of a catch early in that game. And for those of you who have been to this ballpark, there's a ton of foul territory here. And he covered all kinds of ground to go from deep left field and a pop-up over by their bullpen. And it's just a play you typically don't see made that often. So he's doing the little things. He's learning a ton each and every day, and, you know, he can't wait to get to the ballpark every day.
Scott, you've got another young one going tonight in Logan Gilbert, and I think people really need to realize he has not had a lot this year, let alone not much last year. So he's just getting into his season right now. What would you like to see from him? We haven't really seen kind of all of his pitches when he goes out there quite yet. We haven't seen the command that he's displayed before, but we have seen him get his legs under him. What do you want to see in his third outing?
Well, Logan continues to learn a lot as well, and I think the biggest thing that he's been frustrated with, he just hasn't been able to get his secondary pitches in the strike zone, and teams have been laying off and forcing him into bad counts, so to speak, and then having to throw a lot of fastball. He's got a very good fastball, but it's even better if he can get that slider and curveball you know, in the strike zone. I'd like to see him throw a few changeups tonight, too. He's got good secondary pitches. He just hasn't been able to get him in the zone, and it's made it tough for him. So, you know, getting an opportunity to spend some time with him here since his last start, you know, he said to me, Skip, this has never happened to me before. I mean, every time I pitch, I go 5 or 6 innings. You know, so it's been a little bit of an eye-opener, but really hard worker, great kid, and he's learning. That's, we got to be patient with these young guys. You know, most times when they show up at the big leagues, it doesn't happen for them right away. There is an adjustment period, and that's what he's going through right now.
So what do you think those Jared Kelnick and those Logan Gilbert roomie conversations are like right now?
I think they're pretty wide-eyed conversations about things they're seeing, how players maybe are reacting differently to their stuff or react differently to Jared in the batter's box. And that's all good. That's part of the maturing process here. And, you know, they're leaning on coaches. They're talking to teammates. You got to go through it. You know, you got to get a few, you know, maybe you get 100 at-bats under you, or you get 7 or 8 starts under your belt. And then all of a sudden you start, you know, feeling a little bit more, you know, comfortable and like you do belong. But there's no question these guys have talent, and they do belong in this league, and we just have to be patient with them.
You know, Scott, Kyle Lewis has been playing, you know, pretty well. It seems that he's kind of hit his stride, but also, you know, it's taken him a while to kind of get there. What was it like for him through this process? I mean, he still hasn't – we talked about him being, you know, AL Rookie of the Year, but he hasn't played a full season yet. I mean, it's crazy to think about that. What has this process been like for him, and how has he handled the early struggles to hopefully come out on the other side of it?
Well, you know, Kyle getting off the, you know, starting the year on the IL is always a challenge. So once you get back into the lineup, you want to contribute right away. And I think he's played very well. I know his batting average is typically what fans like to look at and judge a player, how he's going, but there's so much more to that. You know, he is getting on base. He's doing a good job with his swing decisions. I think he's playing very well in center field. He made a really nice catch last night. And like I mentioned pregame yesterday, I think, you know, talking about his extra base hits and hadn't seen a homer in a while. We certainly saw one last night. The power's still there. And I think who do hit homers, they come in bunches. So I'm hopeful we'll maybe see a couple more here in this series.
Scott, let me tell you, I know that I've joked to you about getting ejected before and how I think you should totally try it more. I completely forgot to tell you last week that I really thought you would when there was that called strike on Kyle by Angel Hernandez. Who was the home plate umpire that night. I really, Scott, it was close. I thought for sure that would be the night. I stood up, Scott.
Understanding, Stacey, you have a better view of it than I do in the dugout. You know, if you're watching at home, that little box is right there. And you,
Scott,
know exactly
you could see that one. Right, you
Scott,
could see that one, Scott. There's no question.
What if we come up with a system where I signal to you, you should definitely fight the home plate umpire?
Well, you know, we do have a little system with our catcher. I can't let you know how that goes, but, you know, it was funny. Jose Godoy is now catching for us, and he's a young rookie. And, you know, I just had to explain to him the other night, you know, if you see a pitch that's absolutely a strike, you need to give me a little tip. So it does create an opportunity for me to start barking, but there's plenty of opportunities to start barking. And everybody knows Angel Hernandez has been in the league a long time, and it was crazy. We ended up matched up with his umpiring crew for about 10 straight days.
Yeah.
So there were some challenges.
Scott, we see the conversations quite a bit. How often does an umpire actually say, my bad, after the fact?
Not very often. Not very often. I think, you know, that was something that was probably happened back more when I was playing. There was more of a relationship with umpires. And if you remember back, you know, there was only National League umpires and American League umpires. So you got to see the same guys more frequently. And there was a little bit, there was a lot more, you know, back and forth. You talk to them about, you know, things that they did, if they're playing golf, where they're from, who their favorite football team was, you know, things like that. It just doesn't happen that way anymore. It's kind of weird. I miss that part of it and the relationship you have with guys. And when you have a relationship with somebody, then it makes it a little bit easier. You can go at them and they take it the right way, understand it's all in good competitive nature. But, yeah, it's just not the same as probably it was 15, 20 years ago.
Do you know who probably has the best relationship and who should have the best from – this is just purely from watching. Who talks to the umpires the most on your team?
Oh, that's it's no question. Who talks to the umpires most, not only in our team, but in entire Major League Baseball.
Wait, who is it?
That would be Kyle Seager.
Yes. He never stops talking over at third base.
Yeah, it was one of the things when I first got the job here, and you notice it right away. You're looking out from the dugout, and I might have been my first year managing. I might be 20 games into my managerial career, and I got to ask him, like, what is the reason you have to be talking to the umpire all the time? And for Siegs, it's a way to keep him relaxed. I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't want to know what he's talking about, but it's a habit that he has, and I quickly realized that I probably wasn't going to change that one. And it works for him. It keeps him loose, maybe not overthinking the game too much and just playing it. So, but there's no question. Nobody talks to the umpires more than Kyle.
You know, Scott, it's so surprising to hear that, because when you listen to Kyle, and it's not like he is totally reserved or doesn't answer questions, but he isn't that guy that you would look at and say, man, this guy is just chatting it up with everybody and anybody on any given night. Is there a different side to Kyle Seager than we get to see from as a media perspective?
Yeah, Kyle's he's got a lot of good one-liners, I guess. He likes to put a little jab in and then walk away and let you think about it. He's doing it with his teammates, coaching staff, everybody around. And, he tries to keep it light and fun, as it should be, you know, as we have a very young team. And, you know, you go through tough stretches throughout the year. We went through one here, this last week. You've got to keep it light. It's got to be fun. And, sometimes you just try too hard. And you know, it's important to have veterans like that. It'll help keep things in perspective.
Speaking of veterans, Mitch Haniger in the clubhouse, it was after being no-hit, said, hey, we got to look at ourselves and look in the mirror. What guys in the clubhouse do you – I mean, I guess the question is, do you look to guys in the clubhouse to kind of, mentor some other younger people to kind of be accountable? Because I got to say, Scott, one of the conversations I was constantly seeing from people is this team's hitting below 200 and something has to change. And I think that – I wonder if with a young team, you look to guys like Mitch to kind of help you communicate and keep that perspective for young guys. It's a very convoluted question, but I guess I'm kind of asking what that mentorship role is like.
Yeah, we do have some guys, obviously, that have been in the league. We don't have a lot, and I think that's what people don't understand. We actually have three players that have 1,000 career major league at bats, and that is like maybe the equivalent of a year and a half, 2 years if you're an everyday player. You know what I mean? So we are so inexperienced, and you're going to have those struggles. So, you know, some of the guys, those two or three guys that have been in the league and been through it a little bit more, it is important that they continue to talk with our young players and you know, express with them, like, these things happen. You go through swoons, you struggle at times, and it has been a challenge for us offensively. There's no question about it. I mean, we all see it. We see the numbers, but not just us. It's around the league that, you know, offensive numbers are down. But I do believe, and I've said this from day one this year, that we will continue to get better as the season goes along. And, you know, we've added Jared Kelnick right now. And I think Jared, even though everybody gets caught up in his batting average, he's doing a pretty good job. He's swinging at the right pitches. He doesn't swing and miss much. He's going to catch a streak here where, you know, he's probably going to go 14 for 20 or something like that. And he's going to be hitting 285 or 300. Like, that's what happens with young players. So it's really important, you know, that the veteran guys, the few that we have in the clubhouse, kind of help keep guys grounded. Yeah. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Because players are always going to lean on other players. That's just how this game is built, and it's never going to change. You know, coaches get involved, and you want to build relationships with guys and build the trust factor and help them out. But, you know, having a teammate put your arm around you goes a long way.
Scott, one of the younger players that I think has the ability to do that, or at least when I listen to him, I hear that, you know, the airline pilot who's like, hey, we're going to land this thing in a hurricane right now with lightning and one engine, but there's nothing to worry about. Just put your seatbelt on. Everything's going to be okay. That kind of voice. Kyle Lewis, kind of after he spoke last night, and he's done this before, but it's always, you know, I'm going to be okay. We're going to be okay. You know, we're still young guys. We're learning. And when we get Evan back and when we get so-and-so back and when we get some more at-bats under, it's a process. He was talking about that last night. How important is it they understand where they're at?
Yeah, it's awesome. Kyle has a great perspective, not just on baseball, but on life. And I often made comments last year that he's one of our best players at just staying in the moment, staying present. Don't look back too far and don't look too far ahead. K-Lew, for where he's at in his career, he's got a really good grasp and understanding of that, which really helps other guys as they continue to join our team, you know, young players moving forward. I think another guy that doesn't get enough credit is J.P. Crawford. the work ethic, how he goes about it, the competitiveness. He just shows up every day. He sees the game the right way. Now, he's not the vocal leader yet that I think he can grow into, but we certainly have guys that don't have a ton of experience that you're looking out in the future. Can they lead? Can they be a big part of what we're doing going forward on the field, but also in the clubhouse? And those two guys stick out for me. I love where they're at. They need to continue to get better, which they will, because they're really smart. They work hard. They're good athletes. But they also have the chance to lead our group. And ultimately, you need guys. It's not just one leader. It's a group of guys. And I think very, very highly of those two and how they're maturing, you know, right before our eyes. And it's fun to watch every day.
All right. He is Scott Service, manager for your Seattle Mariners. Scott, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Take
Bye.
Care.
Thanks, Scott.
Shannon, there are so many things I need to talk about with this. I have to say, I'm going to be really honest with you guys. I was struggling with figuring out how to frame my question about this team hitting below 200 while also recognizing that the manager has very little control over going out and signing a free agent to come in and help. So it's like, if you're Scott Service, you're in this sticky situation where you're like, look, we're a young squad. I don't know what to tell you. Also, last time I checked, it wasn't up to me to decide to go get free agents a couple months ago. So now he's just working with the roster they've been given. I don't know how he figures it out when they're this beat up and when he wasn't given some of those pieces. And that's been one of the most interesting conversations and also kind of an unanswerable question for him too, Shannon.
Yeah, I think, and this has been a little bit of an eye-opener. I mean, I like the idea of bringing up a bunch of prospects, and they kept them together at AA, and they learned how to win together at AA, and that does pay off dividends. The confidence that Kyle Lewis has in his teammates comes from that, because he has won with them before. But, and I think that you are under circumstances that were a little bit more extraordinary than were anticipated. The pitching is better than we thought it would be this year. I think there was a lot of thought that the pitchers would be hurt by last year, and perhaps maybe in the second half, that's when it starts showing up. But if they're not getting injured and if they're not out, they are throwing nasty stuff right now for a variety of reasons. I'm sure you've heard about the talk about the baseballs and everything, you know, the difference that that could be making right now and everything else. But what they're facing day in and day out is different than what they have seen before. They're facing more guys with velocity. They are facing more movement. And this is from talking to players and some veteran players and what they have seen. They are saying it looks very different at the plate right now. So the numbers are down across the board. But what I, you know, my eye opener in where they are right now is just how important those veterans are. And I don't think it was as easy to find where you were going to put those veterans, because the intent was to find out about the young players that you have. But yeah, you probably could have put somebody at second base. Yeah, you probably could have added somebody that could play legitimate outfield and legitimate backup.
You most definitely could have
at
added
first base. It, you know, well, you didn't want to block anybody. That was it.
You didn't want to block anyone, but you had money to spend. Like, you most definitely could have added a second baseman. You knew Shed Long wouldn't be with the squad, and you knew that Dylan Moore was probably going to be your utility guy.
Well, they were giving it to Dylan Moore, but you didn't have to give it to Dylan Moore, because
right.
You know he's a great utility guy. And so if you wanted, if that were the priority to add that player, and that could help that lineup. I mean, you look at what Colton Wong is doing right now. It's one player. It wouldn't have been dramatically different, one player, but it certainly would have helped things along. So, you know, that's why, and Jake, I think you're on board with this, is that when we talk about the trade deadline and, oh, you got to get something for Mitch Haniger, oh, you got to get something for Kyle Seager, I think that would be the biggest mistake they could make. Because they need those players not only to help with the development of these young players, but they need to add. And if they can add at the deadline, because what they do through the length of the season, and that includes the final couple months of the season, sets them up for that off season and the next year. And those are significant months right there for these young players. And for the benefit of their young players, they need to have those bats and around them. They need to have that opportunity to win. And we're going to see coming up, and this is where it's going to hurt, because they, you know, we saw what they went through last week. We saw them fight to win that game last night. And I've said this since the beginning of the season, the off season, when you've got a young team fighting to win ball games, you've got to have a solid bullpen, because there is nothing more demoralizing than here's the win. We did it. We got there. We got the runs and boop. In one inning, it's gone. Well, you've got three very significant players on the IL right now, and that's going to hurt. Scott was able to put it together last night, but you can't have Keenan Middleton closing every game, and you know you can't. He doesn't have the arms that he has right now, and that's that. He said he wasn't quite sure where he was going to go when Yusei came out early last night, so that's going to hurt. Those pieces are so important.
It is going to hurt, and it talks about the you're down some arms, and you're already in a position where you're having an open day right now where you are relying on that bullpen. So it becomes even more thin at this stage. So it makes it really difficult. But, Shannon, I want to come back to something that just really, really, you know, interested me with the idea that they have to hit their stride towards the end of the year when it comes to starting this thing for next year. And how big is that, not just for the culture being set, but the ability to go out and make acquisitions? Because if you're not competing and showing life, right, you're a team that's got a lot of young talent that's still, in the eyes of Major League Baseball, in the eyes of many free agents, you're still a long ways away, which means the one way you can get guys to come is by overspending, and I'm sure they don't want to be in that position.
Well, I think, and it's going to be a weird offseason because of the CBA coming up too, so it's hard to really predict where all of this is going to go, but I do think that we did start hearing from more and more players on the outside that they do recognize what is going on here. They do recognize, you look at what the arms are, and it might not be next year in their minds, but if they're signing a 5-year deal or a 4-year deal, and they know those young arms that the George Kirbys and the Emerson Hancocks are coming and whatnot, that's something that comes into it. But I mean, more than anything, it's the contract, it's the dollars, it's the location of the team, it's the convenience and where the player wants to be. I think for most, that within reason, unless you're looking at they're never going to win again, I think they're open to a lot. I don't think that it plays into it as much unless you've got a guy that's, you know, absolutely, you know, like a Justin Verlander, I've got 2 years left before I'm done, I have to win now. Then he might be looking more at a Yankees or a Padres,
right,
or something like,
right,
that. And that's fine because you're not, you know, realistically, you're not looking to get to the World Series next year. It'd be great. It'd be fantastic. But you are. You should be. And in the terms of the rebuild and what they've done and the steps that they've taken back and what they've asked the fans to kind of buy into, you should be competitive. You should be competing for the playoffs next year. And that will take some significant additions.
Well, Shannon, you know, one of the teams that we highlighted is the team that we saw this past weekend with the Padres. And yeah, they built their farm system up really well, but even as they were bringing up Fernando Tatis Jr., we talk about having more big league bats and having more veteran presence. They made some bigger signings before they had really brought him up to that level. And you know, Eric Hosmer, you know, being really the highlight. You have Manny Machado at some point in time. But they really started making those moves before they go out and have the payroll that they have now today. If there's a position or two that you could look at them really addressing potentially down the road, or that they should, what stands out to you?
Well, it's middle infield, and that's what the crop is coming up in this offseason. It could be third base, too. So, you know, it is a good off season for that. You are going to have to spend, and you've got some flexibility. Kyle Seager, there is a team option. There is, you know, there is the possibility if he has a fantastic year and it's all clicking, it's not completely out of the question that that would happen. But also if third base is open, that's where a lot of your middle infield is where, and third base is where a lot of your premium players are. So they could add there. That's why it's an important year for J.P. Crawford, and he has been invaluable defensively. His defensive runs saved are among the best in the game right now. You hear the skipper talk about his leadership. I don't think you really want to move him to second base, and I don't think you need to move him out if he continues to hit the way he is. There's nothing wrong with having him at the bottom of the order. I know he's hitting sixth and fifth right now. He shouldn't be. That's where they're at. But I think that he's got the opportunity to show that he's going to be more than just a glove only, that he can contribute more, which, again, then you are looking at second base.
Shannon, there are questions I want to ask about Logan Gilbert. And speaking of spending and speaking of contracts and options, Yusei Kikuchi, we don't have time, though. Do you have anything coming up on 710sports.com?
Well, I have a piece up right now. I did write after the Padres series, and it's just like, let's take a deep breath here, folks.
All right, guys, 710sports.com. Check out Shannon's stuff, our Mariners insider. Shannon, amazing,
yes,
as always. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Shannon.
All right, I'm going to ask you guys and Jake an interesting question. Here's my question. Matthew Stafford, is he the MVP, the betting favorite MVP, over Russell Wilson? Think about it. Let me know what you think. 710-710, Mac and Jack's text line. Someone thinks he is. That's coming your way next in NFL Headlines.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
All right, as a reminder to you guys, what I need to know is coming your way in 15 minutes, but you can send in your questions right now, anytime really, over the next half hour. 710-710, that is the Mac and Jack's text line. That is where you are sending your questions for what I need to know. Any question you want, 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line. Let's get to some NFL headlines. Now, this was from Brock Heward's Blue 42 segment this morning on Danny and Gallant. As you guys know, look, if you are anyone who listens to us semi-regularly, you know that there is one enemy of the show. We only have one enemy of the show. We try to be positive. We try to have fun. We have lots of friends of the show. One enemy of the show. And who is it, DJ?
Troy Aikman.
It's Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman, enemy of the show, told Sam Farmer of the LA Times that Matthew Stafford, could be the NFL MVP this year on a Rams team with a very good defense and smart play design and play calling from Sean McVay. So here's the question they asked Brock. Here's the one I'm going to pose to us. Is Matthew Stafford really a favorite for MVP ahead of Russell Wilson?
Troy Aikman's just doing this to punk me, right? Like, is that what we're doing?
Troy Aikman did this interview solely to annoy the Jake and Stacey program. Like, it's a mutual dislike.
Having a take like this, I will be really, really interested to see, obviously, when we come back in November and December of next year and see how this all plays out, but saying that Matthew Stafford is all of a sudden going to jump to MVP-level status, I don't think that that's going to be the case. Matthew Stafford is a very talented quarterback. Matthew Stafford has had good years in this league, but also Matthew Stafford has not played a consistently difficult division like the NFC West, and he has also been in this league for quite some time. He has had offensive weapons. He has had offensive talent around him. He has not had good teams around him, a full, well-rounded team. And from Troy Aikman's perspective, hey, a number one defense, a top five defense, that can help you win ball games. But I don't think you're going to see Matt Stafford putting up MVP-level numbers, nor get the total credit for the Rams if they are successful from that standpoint. And guess what? Matthew Stafford, his highest career total in touchdowns is 32.
In Detroit.
I don't think you're going to see him raise his level of play to a height that's going to take him to 40, 50 touchdowns. And you want to know something else that stayed relatively consistent throughout his career, Stacey? Double-digit interceptions for Matthew Stafford. And I think that trend is going to continue. That trend will remain. He is a gunslinger through and through, and within a very, very difficult division defensively, I think Matt Stafford is going to be good. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be good. I think he'll be an upgrade over Jared Goff. He is not going to be MVP level good, and he's certainly not going to be the best quarterback in this division. That belongs to Russell Wilson.
I think it belongs to Russell Wilson, but I think that you may be underestimating what Matthew Stafford can do. And you guys, let me just say this. Yes, the NFC West might have some of the toughest divisions in football. A lot of that talent is concentrated in the front seven. San Francisco, their cornerbacks are maybe the best cornerback duo in the league, but also injury riddled, right? A group that's been had injuries there before. With the Rams, okay, Ramsey, yeah, I'll give you that. You're solid there. But that's his team. He doesn't have to worry about it. And then you've got both Seattle and the Cardinals. Their weakest spot on their team as a whole, not just on defense, is cornerback. The Cardinals are going to be rolling out a team starting Malcolm Butler and someone else as their corners one and two after letting Patrick Peterson and Dre Kirkpatrick go in free agency. Seattle rolling out a brand new one and two duo as well at corner. So while I think that it's going to be tough going for all the quarterbacks in the NFC West as they face each other's defenses, man, those secondaries are going to go a little bit easier, I think. You're going to have to just escape pressure. That's going to be your goal as a quarterback in the NFC West. Escape pressure up front, because those defensive lines across multiple teams are no joke. next story here, an article published by NFL.com's Jeffrey Chida lays out which teams need to go all in on Julio Jones. Here's the list, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So in order, number one, Patriots. Give your brand new quarterback a new weapon, one of the best weapons in football, get back into the postseason. Then number two, Browns. Number three, Colts. Number four, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry, 49ers, number four. And number five, Raiders. Only a handful of teams in the NFL, by the way, can afford to absorb that 15.3 fully guaranteed million-dollar base contract that Julio Jones is going to be carrying, by the way.
Yeah, but I also think that when you're looking at this and what is his last name? Chada? This guy that published this article?
Chadia?
Chadia, okay. We'll roll with that. Chedida. Jeffrey Chedida, as he is looking through this article, I think that you're looking at the obvious numbers in terms of the cap right now, but there are a lot of moves that teams could make and add flexibility. And Julio Jones is the type of player that you do unique things for. And I believe that although he is aging, he's got 3 years remaining on his contract. He has got incredible production still left in him and can be a big-time difference maker for your organization. So I don't believe Julio Jones is going to carry a big trade value that the Falcons would like to have simply because the price tag at $15 million cap hit for this year is still a significant cap hit that they would be undertaking.
Next Gen Stats provided the top 10 deep passers of 2020. This is backed up by stats, you guys. Russell Wilson, number 8. Please listen to the top 10. I'm going in reverse order. You are not going to believe who's at 2 and 1. Reverse order, number 10, Josh Allen. Number 9, Josh Herbert. Number 8, Russell Wilson. 7, Kirk Cousins. 6, Baker Mayfield. 5, Deshaun Watson. 4, Aaron Rodgers. 3, Kyler Murray. Number 2, Derek Carr. And number 1, Danny Dimes. It is Daniel Jones of the New York Giants.
Oh, Stacey, you just put these NFL talent headlines just to absolutely kick me off.
DJ and I will find headlines that we know will bother you. It is the highlight of my day.
This is the most absurd list I've ever seen in Next Gen Stats. Yes, it is. It is the most absurd list I've ever seen. There's no way Daniel Jones is the best deep ball thrower NFL.
It's Danny Dimes for a reason, Jake.
Get out of here with that. Not even close. Not even close.
What I need to
put this list, crumple it up, throw it in the trash, and you might as well, you know, burn it.
I'm going to hang it up in the control room back there.
Just burn it already.
All right. What I need to know is coming your way next. Here's how it works. You send any question you have about anything, Seahawks, Mariners, anything outside of sports. I don't care. Whatever it is, we turn it over to you guys. 710-710, Mac and Jack's text line. What I need to know right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions into the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710. What I Need to Know, what is the over-under on diapers that Curtis has changed thus far? Curtis Rogers out on paternity leave with baby Willa. I'm going to say I have no concept of this, not having a baby. 200? I don't know.
200?
I don't know. Yeah, Willa was born on, what was it, the 7th? No, a little later than that. Oh, she's about 2 weeks old, I think. Maybe
okay,
a little
so
older than that.
200 is a little steep. I would say okay, probably about 100 diapers.
Ugh,
100 to 150 diapers. Yeah, welcome to parenthood, Curtis. Welcome. And guess what? It just it keeps getting better.
Jake can't say it with a straight face. What I need to know, what is the snack at the supermarket you have to stop. You're at the supermarket. You're running errands. You're just going about your day. You see this snack and you're like, I can't not buy it. I can't not do it. It's got to be a cracker
snack?
Of like gold, not goldfish, but like Cheez-Its.
Oreos, for sure.
Oreos. Yeah, this is a very pro Oreo cookie show.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we are definitely all for Oreos. That's the one thing that we can agree on as a show. Thank goodness. At least we can find some common ground for crying out loud. I would say the snack. I don't know if it's a snack as it is the candy. You know, like The one thing that I've always found cruel is in the grocery stores or even at Home Depot, for crying out loud, they have the candy that just sits there as you're about to exit. Like, come on. It's really hard to walk away and not have a Snickers or something.
Well,
like that to me always gets me.
If you're at Home Depot, you're already doing yard work or work around your house, so you're like, I'm burning calories. I can have this snack. I've earned it. I love
100%.
This question.
I've earned this.
What I need to know, if Jake and Stacy had to switch lives, what would be the good and bad parts about the switch?
Oh, this
is amazing. An amazing question from the 206.
Oh, I already know the bad part.
What do you mean?
Is athletically.
What?
Athletically, I wouldn't be able to do anything.
I am an athlete. I am literally a former athlete. It's just not as obvious on dry land. Jake.
Yeah, so a dry land athlete. I would no longer be a dry land athlete.
It's not that my would strength.
Really, really be frustrating with my competitive personality. That wouldn't go well. Positives.
Yes.
I'm assuming that we've seen your clothes selection. I finally
you
would
have
get
a huge
to try
closet.
On that Jedi outfit
okay.
that you had
no.
on yesterday.
Don't sound like positive.
So, I think that would be awesome. I'd get to walk around and pretend to be Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
The second thing that would be really, really great, I think, would be to hang out your bathroom wallpaper, as we all saw when you were doing the show from remote. That was fantastic. That was excellent wallpaper.
Great setup.
This is how it works. Here's what the bad will be. I your family is absolutely wonderful. I've never had to really watch kids, and I don't know that I'd know what to do. Like, I think that all of a sudden I would lose control. Like, if Brooke left me as Jake, secretly as Jake in a Freaky Friday situation with the kids, I would be like, Brooke, please don't leave. Please don't leave. I don't know what to do. What do I do?
Trust me, you'd be in for a world of hurt. You better be ready to play with Legos. You better be able to do imagination with dinosaurs.
Thankfully, Bodie and Jackson are adorable, and so
you better know how to wrestle.
Exactly.
You better know how to wrestle.
I feel like I could handle it. Thankfully, they're, by all outward appearances, good kids. I think they'd make it easy on me, but as a first-time parent, it would be terrifying. The really good parts would be for the first, I've never been taller than 5'3". Like, what's it like to do that? I would go to the store and just reach things off the top shelves. I would go in the parking lot and just throw a football around. I would just bring out a bag of 30 footballs and just throw them as far as I could. I don't care if I hit a building. I don't care if I hit a car. I'm just throwing it to see how far I can throw it. How cool is that?
Right, you're innocent. I mean, no one knows you.
Then I would call Russell Wilson, and I would try to get all the details on everything. And I would be like, oh, God, spill, man. Tell me about it. Hey, have you ever wanted to get traded or something? Just random questions.
The other thing that I now that I thought of that would be really, really tough being you.
Why is it so bad?
Well, I'm just saying it would be difficult being you because then I would
friends.
Have to stress and be worried about going up and down stairs, whether I would hurt myself or not. Like, I don't need that stress in my life.
Wow. Okay. Stacy's positive, significantly younger and less injury prone. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, Jake's positive. He'd be a better quarterback coach. Thank you.
Wow.
All right, here is another
Unbelievable.
Let's see. Oh, gosh, I just called it. Are you sure you're from Seattle? You just called the store a supermarket. It was on the text line. Come on. What I need to know, this is a good one. Are there things you were told as a child that you live your life by as an adult? For instance, not crossing your eyes because they'll get stuck that way from the 425. Is there anything you were told as a child or any superstition or anything you had as a child? Like, I still don't walk under ladders. If I see a ladder, I'm not going to walk under it.
For me, it was swallowing gum. Don't swallow gum or else it's going to stay in your gut forever.
Yes.
Forever. Yeah. I just thought of oh my gosh, if I keep swallowing gum, my stomach is...
It's going to be all gum.
All gum. I can't do that. And I was always fearful of that my entire childhood.
360. Well, don't forget, Jake is a water athlete as well. I know he tasted it on Ninja Warrior.
Whoa, 360.
Take it easy
there.
I like that. Shots fired. We've been trying to find out how far Jake went for a while now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you're going to see, 360, just how wrong you are.
Okay, Jake. Okay. When's that episode coming out? Everyone asks every single what I need to know. July, right? June, July, summer,
somewhere in there as well. Oh, the other thing that would be a very great positive is FaceTiming with Brian in space and figuring out, you know, where he is, if indeed he is real or not. We need to get down
Jake.
To the bottom of
Stacey about that.
Okay.
Stacey about that. Someone texted
me. My boyfriend's real, you guys.
I think it's Brian. They said, "Hey, babe, I met someone up here in the space station."
What?
So I think you're being...
What?
Are you being dumped or
no.
Like, are they trying to make you jealous?
Am I being dumped on air? This isn't happening.
Over the text line,
oh,
Stacey. That's
rough
pretty...
stuff.
That is rough.
That'll do it for us today. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob is coming your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.